That gospel from Matthew is the last paragraph in the last chapter of the gospel of Matthew. And the entire gospel of Matthew has been aiming to this paragraph, the commissioning of the apostles, the commissioning of the church, the sending forth. Everything has been aiming for this one paragraph. Were all the disciples on board? Well, what we hear is this. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them, and when they saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. They doubted. We don't pay much attention to this phrase. And we've all heard it several times before. Now, it will take decades and even generations for the early church to reflect upon what had happened in this moment, this commissioning. They doubted. Can doubting be a sin? Do you think doubting can be a sin? It's not a sin. People come in the confessional all the time and confess having doubts. And all I can say is you're in good company. Really good company. I know 11 guys who also doubted. And you know something? Jesus never raised the point. He didn't even mention it. He just said, go. I'm going to be with you. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we know from the Acts of Luke, they're going to have a problem with this because a lot of people start baptizing in the name of Jesus. That wasn't the commissioning. The baptism is into the entire Trinity. We are baptized into Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the entire Godhead. Now, doubts are normal in the face of what you don't understand. Would you be scandalized if I told you that I stand at the altar sometime in the consecration and look at myself and say, who do you think you are? Doubts are normal. But out of obedience they went forward, and out of obedience we come to Mass, and out of obedience I say Mass. Do I understand the mystery? Sometimes I think I do, but I'd be lying to you if I said I did all the time. And I am somewhat more comfortable knowing that the church started in doubt. Somehow or other, that's very comforting. We don't go forward completely assured. Nobody starts out on anything major without some misgivings. You don't go to war that way. You don't enter marriage that way. You don't get ordained that way. You don't start a church that way. So it takes us with a certain amount of courage that we take those steps. You'll learn, Salvador. We can be obedient. Now, there's a lot of mysteries to the church that we are obedient to, and we take them as articles of faith. If you ask me if I believe in the ascension, I do. Can I explain it? I can't. It's one of those mysteries we simply have to believe in faith. The ascension of Jesus Christ is the final step in his exaltation. Everybody say exaltation. Again, exaltation. We don't say it enough. Say it one more time. It's your word now. You said it three times. Now you need to know what it means. The exaltation of Jesus Christ. His resurrection. His ascension. And the coming of the Holy Spirit. He's exalted in these. According to the biblical and church tradition, this occurred over a 50-day period of time. 40 days between the resurrection and his ascension, and 10 days between the ascension and the Pentecost. That's why they call it Pentecost. Penta means 50. 50 days. A new age has begun with the exaltation of Jesus. It's not just simply a day on the calendar. Things changed. A brand new age. The world could never, ever be the same after the exaltation as before the exaltation. Once Jesus is reunited to his Father, he's gone back to where he came from, because Jesus is God. He came from God because he's God. He returned to God because he's God. And the age of the church begins. This is the new age. And with the aid of the Holy Spirit, the church spread the gospel all over the known world, and that continues today. And Jesus remains with his church in word and sacrament. Never has the world seen such a change in influence and power. Nothing has ever happened in the history of mankind like what has happened over the last 2,000 years. And it all happened within a 50-day period of time. The church exploded over the known world. Think of it. This religion from this backwater in Galilee. Whoever knew where Galilee was? To every land and people, the church is our current age. That's when we're living, in the age of the church. And we're still living that mystery. And it's up to us whether we decide to live in the pre-exaltation world or the post-exaltation world. I've made my decision. I think you have too. That's what our baptism was all about. The exaltation of Jesus represents a real challenge to us. There is enmity between the pre-exaltation world and heaven. Would you agree with me on that? Pretty serious friction. It's a war. It's a universal battle. And it's going on right now. This is the age of the church, and we live in the world. And the world wants to have ultimate power over everything. And the reign of God, Jesus ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit on earth, it can't see it anymore, it can't control it, it can't get its arms around it. It tries. One of the histories of the church, one of the elements of the history of the church, is kings and emperors attempting to control the Pope and the naming of bishops and the control of seminaries. That, if you don't understand that, you'll never understand world history. And it's going on now, and it's part of the history of Latin America. It's part of the history of Western Europe. It's going on right now. You can read between the lines between what was going on with Pope Francis in Jerusalem and the Orthodox Patriarch was involved with just that tension. Just look what's going on right now when the current administration in Washington is attempting to define themselves what's church activity and what's not church activity in terms of mandating health care, abortion coverage, contraception, they don't have that right. They do not have the power over life and death or over the church. They can't define us. And times will come, and this too will pass. And 100 years ago, or 500, 100 years from now, or 500 years from now, or 1,000 years from now, guess which administration will still be standing? It'll be the Roman Catholic Church. We'll always have those temptations. We've seen like this type of thing many times in the last 2,000 years. The world killed Jesus and persecuted his apostles and followers. And the story is told over and over and over again. And however, Jesus' promise is that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. It's worked so far. We have witnesses to the truth of Jesus' promise. We are witnesses to the truth of Jesus' promise. We're witnesses today to the ascension, to the Pentecost. We wouldn't be in this room right now if it wasn't for that. And he ascended to show us a path. Our journey won't be finished until we ascend with him. He had to ascend to show us the way, because we will always be united with him through word and sacrament if we keep his commandments, his promise.